Hello, this is David Wilcock, and you are listening to a Divine Cosmos audio blog. Today's date is October 10th, 2009. I recently was on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. This was Tuesday of this past week, and we discussed some very enlightening information that has come to my attention recently. Specifically, you may or may not be aware of the truth behind the UFO phenomenon. This is something that seems to be reaching critical mass, and there are many people in the mainstream media who are now coming forward with their accounts and with their stories. My personal contribution to this is also going to include a sci-fi documentary that's going to be coming out on that network as of November the 8th on a Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a two-hour special, and I can honestly say that I gave my very best information on this special. There's a lot of the special that's devoted to my testimony, and this is going to be probably some of the most substantial information ever to be released in mainstream media of its type. What we're talking about in a show like this is the idea that our entire solar system is actually experiencing climate change. This is not strictly an effect relegated to planet Earth, and it's not obviously being caused by global warming or industrial pollution. Instead, what we seem to be seeing is a solar system-wide phenomenon which includes a very unusual amount of behavior we're seeing with the sun. However, the conventional explanations to try to blame this on some sort of Planet X or extrasolar body that swings by and is thus causing these effects is really quite a naive perspective, in my opinion. As point of fact, the sun contains 99.86% of all the mass in the solar system, and therefore that means that all the planets combined only account for 0.14% of the total mass of the solar system. That means that they're really like grains of sand by comparison to the size of the entire solar system. So when you start thinking about it in those terms, it becomes really difficult to imagine how one tiny little planet could actually be causing the sun itself to have such spectacular climate change that it's at an all-time high in its activity, unlike anything we've seen in literally 11,000 years. What's far more likely is that we are moving into a new zone of energy in the galaxy, or rather, to be even more precise, a new zone of energy is moving towards us from the center of the galaxy as it expands away from the center. And it is now intruding into the pathway that our solar system is traveling through. This may seem to be a fanciful notion, but you can go on my website, divinecosmos.com, and watch a video that I did recently at the Project Camelot Awake and Aware conference here in Los Angeles. I titled the video 2012 Return to Camelot, and within a few more days we're going to have a new version of that video up there with more than one camera angle at a higher level of quality. The point is that if you watch this video, you will clearly see how I am describing these galactic energy fields in very concrete and measurable terms. What I'm saying to you is that the galaxy really is creating waves of energy that ripple away from the center of the galaxy, much like ripples from a stone dropped into a pond. And as these ripples enter into our solar system, they are on a superficial level causing things like the planets to become brighter, for their temperatures to increase, for there to be sudden increases in their magnetic field strength. We're seeing atmospheres appearing on planets that didn't have them before. We're seeing a lot of ozone and charged particles, which is really the sun's attempt to throw off all of the particles that it's taking in. So I would like to point out that it is only a superficial level to look at it as interplanetary climate change, and on a deeper level, what you're actually seeing is the harmonics of human consciousness changing. Now, what do I mean by that? When you really understand how energy works in the universe, you'll begin to see that electromagnetism is not the fundamental substrate that the universe is built off of. That's a misnomer based on conventional physics from Einstein and others like him. However, there is a whole extra field of physics called torsion field physics that comes primarily out of Russia. And in this new physics, we're seeing that there is a energy that is actually responsible for all atoms and molecules to be built on the quantum level. This is not an energy that you can measure directly because it is not contained within our own three dimensions of space. That means that we're dealing with a hyperdimensional energy force, an energy that operates within its own reference frame, which from our vantage point is not directly anything we can touch or see or smell or taste or otherwise. However, it is the energy that makes matter, and obviously we can see matter. On an esoteric level, you can take it to a much higher vantage point by seeing that the consciousness is the builder of this energy. The energy itself is consciousness. Recently, we had an interview with a whistleblower named Dr. Pete Peterson, who has worked for various covert black ops projects on a variety of technologies. His perspective is that it's the informational field, as he calls it, and it is not localized within time. He also differentiates between that and the field that we have as our aura, which he calls the consciousness field, and says that the consciousness field is what actually processes the data from the informational field and makes it so that we can experience it in time. On a very intrinsic level, all of this new science shows us that the mind is only superficially located in the brain. There's only certain aspects of your consciousness that are essentially driven by the body that are actually going to be a direct result of the neural system, as you would think of it. In a greater sense, the brain is also a conduit for energy which is non-local, and that's actually where most of your consciousness is taking place. There's a wide variety of scientific experiments and data that prove that this is what's going on. And the tour de force where I explain all of this is in a product that I have on my website called The Science of Peace. And what I did is to put a musical background with my colleague and friend Larry Sire to this lecture, which is approximately a little over 3 hours long, broken up into three sections, each of which is an MP3 file. Anyway, the point is that this consciousness field or informational field is all around us, and if you go back to the ancient esoteric traditions, we see that in fact it is well known that all the universe is ultimately created by one mind. Therefore, if you can approach and identify yourself as being one with this universal mind, then a great deal of sorrow and pain and difficulty can be let go of. The simple fact of the matter is that we are all spirits having a human experience. And as we move through each layer of our awakening process, we're coming more and more into contact with who we really are underneath the veil and behind the mask. So as we see this, as we see ourselves in a grander context, we can start doing away with all the ego-driven feelings of lack and scarcity and need and fear that drive our minds and drive our bodies through so many of the same issues that keep repeating themselves over and over again. We have pain and we have sorrow and we have longing and we have difficulty and we have suffering. And these are not awful, terrible things that are thrust upon us by a cruel and unloving universe. These are our gifts. These are our blessings. And they come to us specifically because they are what we need to awaken to our true identity. Behind all of those superficial levels of the self, there is a primordial self, which is actually the whole universe as one singular consciousness. That's the way it's always been, and it's always going to be that way. And when you investigate what esoteric science is telling us, you see that the universe itself is a dream. None of this is really here. All of it is some form of distortion of one intelligent supercreator, one intelligence which is much, much vaster than we could ever conceptualize. Just to even begin to understand how far this can go, think about how every person on Earth could ultimately be unified in one consciousness so that there is one mind that is simultaneously aware of what everyone is thinking about and feeling. So there are going to be people in all different states of consciousness. There's going to be people having a good time, people having a bad time. Everything you can imagine is going on somewhere on the Earth right now. And you could be experiencing all of that simultaneously, knowing what every person's mind is thinking, and having enough of an overview perspective to be able to see where the whole world can be steered so that synchronicities occur, that the right people meet at the right times, that problems become resolved, and so forth. This is actually just a small part of how the Creator functions, because not only can you have one planet of people unified in one consciousness, you can have one solar system, you can even have one galaxy, and you can even have the entire universe. So it's very difficult for the finite rational mind to contemplate infinity, because we are only given a very small percentage of what our true mind is in this human form. And yet, this is part of the design. The design is for each of us to have this illusion of a personal identity, that we have some sort of separated consciousness from others. And then we're going through our lives and we're having a set of experiences and we're learning things and we're growing and we're striving. And we don't always know where we're going or what our objectives are. It's very easy to become identified with the comforts of the body and convinced that the body is going to be that which we need for our own safety and security. That's the primary thing we need to keep on the forefront of our awareness. And of course, you do certainly want to take care of your body and you want to make sure that you're okay. But on the other hand, the body can be an illusion that keeps you from understanding your true identity, which is not merely localized within the body. So when people are accusing others of being stuck in ego, what they typically mean is that they're identified very strongly with the body and they want to go after those things which will promote the security and the health and the vitality of the body. Now again, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with this. If you understand true spiritual teaching, at least true in terms of how I see it and how many others have seen it, everything in the universe is acceptable. Everything is part of one intelligent continuum, and we're all given these gifts as to how we will think and how we will feel and how we will believe. And we can choose whatever we want. There is no right or wrong answer. There's only various options that we're given by the universe, so that we can find a path for ourselves that will be acceptable and will give us a sense of renewal and continuity as we move through these journeys of our lives. So another very important esoteric point is that the universe allows for good and evil as we would identify those terms. In truth, everything is part of the flow of the universe, and to identify anything as evil is actually a misnomer. It's a superficial understanding of a greater continuum. If the universe truly is everything, and there is only one consciousness, and that consciousness has made all matter, and it's made all people, and all worlds, and all solar systems, and all galaxies, then quid pro quo, any logical reasoning would conclude that all the things that happen within this universe are part of its creation. And it's part of the design. My personal system that I use is the Law of One series, allegedly channeled by an entity known as Ra in the early 1980s, most of it about 75 sessions in 1981. Now again, I have come at this from a scientific perspective. I read my first book on ESP when I was 7 years old and began practicing those exercises and getting them to work for me in very fascinating ways. But it wasn't until I found the Law of One series that I ever truly believed that anybody could channel and that it was anything other than their conscious mind, perhaps with some subconscious imagery and commentary thrown in. Now, with all that being said, the Law of One is in a class of its own because in the early 1980s you got a whole cosmology that was spelled out, which had many scientific elements that are very complex. In fact, all the things that I was sharing with you earlier about interplanetary climate change and the idea of a wave of energy from the galaxy intruding on our solar system and causing shifts not only in the planets but in our own human consciousness, all of this is covered in the Law of One series well before there was any scientific data to back it up. So to me, that's pretty impressive. It's even more impressive when the Law of One series is describing a host of different extraterrestrial groups, all of whom are aiding and assisting humanity, and you get very precise similarities between the descriptions of who, what, where, and when in the Law of One with what we're actually now hearing from insiders who allege to have worked in top-secret classified government projects. This is one of the areas that's fascinating for me. I've spent a lot of time working with different whistleblowers and talking to them, finding out what they're about, where they've seen things happen, and what their perspective is on a variety of issues. And I will tell you this. There is no doubt whatsoever in my mind that extraterrestrials do exist, that they have visited this planet, that they have crashed their ships here, that we have indeed reverse engineered the technology, and that in fact many of the technologies that we're now taking for granted in our daily life are a direct result of this extraterrestrial endowment that we have received. Now, when I'm talking about the esoteric principles of the universe, let's go back for a moment and discuss the fact, again, that all things in the universe are part of a continuum of experience which is ultimately leading us back into oneness. It is my contention that this oneness is loving in nature, and the experiences that we would identify as negative or as sorrowful or painful are in fact experiences that are allowed to occur by the universe. There is nothing that happens to us that is not part of this plan. And that, of course, includes things that can be suffering or even lethal to a physical body. Again, if you are stuck in the ego consciousness, if you identify yourself with the body so strongly that you can't perceive an identity outside of it, then it may be easy to assume that anything that would cause the body damage or even death would automatically be a terrible thing. Of course, the universe is not seeking to torture anyone, and it's not seeking to punish you. But at the same time, we do live in a continuum in which both birth and death are part of the experience. And if you also follow this esoteric science, you learn that reincarnation is another key aspect of this. So there are times in which we will choose a lifetime where we will have a death occur at a particular point. And again, if you read the works of Michael Newton, as I discussed on Coast the other night, he talks about people being regressed hypnotically to a state in between lifetimes. And in that state in between lifetimes, what happens to them is that they experience a full review of what they're going to be doing in the next life. They actually get the opportunity to choose the major experiences that will happen to them. Now, on a superficial level, you might not think there's anything positive about, for example, having a car crash and getting your leg smashed up. But on a deeper level, we actually do oftentimes choose what experiences we're going to have and when we're going to have them. And injuries and setbacks are issues which will actually force us to withdraw from what we had been doing up until then and to go within to find a more secluded and introverted path, which sometimes we need. Extroversion is certainly a quality that will get you a lot of friends and a lot of publicity, but there are also times where you want to really be quiet and alone with yourself and withdraw from the things that you were doing and have time to be in that silent communion with the universe, which doesn't always occur. But even when the body is in a great deal of physical pain, there is often a chance for you to have that rare gift of being able to connect with some deeper aspect of yourself. In working through the pain, you have to find a consciousness that is not strictly identified with the physical body in order to feel like you're not going crazy. And that can be something that really actually is a very healing process for you. So when you begin to understand that the universe is fundamentally loving in its basic nature, then you wrestle with the fact of how it is that these experiences that seem negative can happen. Again, we are only superficially in these physical bodies. The body is not our identity. It's a temporary place that we reside in, and we have that illusion that we have a separated consciousness. This is our gift, and it's what we're put on this planet to do, to have this body, to live these experiences, to go through these choices of which way we're going to go, and who we're going to talk to, who we're going to love, etc. And when we move deeper and deeper into the truth of our being, we're going to see that all of the experiences that we have, everything, is something that we invited on some level. And it's invited so that we can grow, so that we can understand our true nature, our true identity, and our true purpose. For that same reason, when we are in a state where we do not love ourselves, it is not the place of the universe to manifest people who will be loving towards us. When we're in a state where we don't love ourselves, we have that classic law of attraction that's occurring, in which we attract people to ourselves who will treat us the same way that we've been treating ourselves. We will attract situations that are unloving, situations where we're being rudely disrespected, where we're being treated without the care and the compassion and the love that we feel that we deserve on some level. And as you go through these situations where people are saying things to you that are hurtful and where you're having sorrow and pain, you keep asking yourself, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to experience this? But on another level, hey, you can choose to hang out with whoever you want to. And one of the things that beings at the level of Ra keep saying is that there are no paradoxes. You never are in a situation that you cannot change. You never are in a situation that is unresolvable. You're never trapped, and you're never stuck. With that being said, many of us have gotten really stuck in the idea of people-pleasing, where what we do is we want everyone around us to be happy, we want everyone around us to have a positive feeling about who we are and how we're treating them, and therefore we're actually terrified of saying or doing things that will upset other people. Now, of course, I'm only speaking to some people when I say this. There are many people who don't have a problem with upsetting others and, in fact, have a certain degree of arrogance and a certain degree of strength in their opinion that they can say what they want, do what they want, trample over other people's feelings, and it doesn't even matter. Those people are in what we would call a state of confusion because they do not understand or they have not remembered that we are all one. They do not understand or remember that whatever it is that you bring to others is also something you're bringing to yourself, and therefore it's a great chain of being. You really don't ever want to treat other people differently than how you would want to treat yourself. And yet, those who are awakening, those who are going through an increasing expansion of their own consciousness, are having more and more encounters with people that are coming from this perspective. And it can be very difficult, it can be very traumatic. Because these people will not want to give you the love that you deserve and the love that you intrinsically have from the universe. They will give you experiences that will torture you and that will humiliate you and that will make you feel that you are less than what you really are. Let's not forget, they're there in your life because you attracted them. If you are stuck in this victim consciousness where you like to write letters to your friends or talk to them on the phone and whine and complain about how terrible this person is and how much you're being mistreated, you haven't understood what's going on. Every time you interact with that person, you are choosing to. They are there because you allow them to be there. There are no paradoxes. If you didn't want to be with that person, you don't have to be. If you don't want to be in a particular job, you don't have to be. If you don't want to live in a particular place, you don't have to live there. Granted, you're not just going to wake up tomorrow morning and have millions of dollars in a pile lying next to your bed. But on the other hand, you can create new opportunities for yourself. You have the chance to be able to transform your circumstances to any degree. It was only about a decade ago that I was in abject poverty and working for jobs that paid about $6 an hour and really had no knowledge of any deeper purpose for my life or where things were going. In fact, it was only recently that I have been able to stabilize my income to the point where I at least can pay my bills and be able to put out some initiatives to get this material to a larger level. As a result of my appearance on Coast, I did receive a lot of hate mail, not only in my own email inbox, but also on various forums on the internet. And what I can say is that this is a classic example of people who enjoy attacking other people as sort of like a spectator sport. Specifically, what I was being attacked about was this idea that there may be a very substantial disclosure of the reality of the extraterrestrial presence on Earth that's happening soon in our own physical reality. That aroused a great deal of controversy. In fact, many people were acting as if I had somehow staked my entire reputation on this one particular data point. So I would like to state for the record that I am not doing that. It's a sad thing on one level that you have to be hated by so many people in order to say some very basic things. And all I said on the show was that I have someone who is an insider who has worked with the Black Ops community for quite some time. And this individual was told by three different people who he knows over many, many years of contact with this community that there is going to be a formal government disclosure of the reality of the UFO phenomenon, the reality of human extraterrestrials who look very similar to us, in some cases almost identical, that this will be happening before the end of the year, that the television time has already been booked on major networks, not only in this country but around the world, that it will be a 2-hour special, and, if it's not crazy enough, you will actually be introduced to several different people, each of whom are a representative from different human lineages on different planets. Now again, this is not something I'm staking my reputation on, and I would also like to point out that this is a war. This is a war in which Obama is part of the faction that wants to see this stuff get out there into the open. Without exception, all of these Black Ops sources that spoke to my contact were very, very disdainful towards Obama for wanting to do this. They see it as a flagrant exercise of ego on his part, because what they prefer is secrecy and cover-up and concealment. The reason why I'm calling it a war is that this is sufficient for them to want to assassinate President Obama, more than enough. Because once this announcement is made, whenever it does get made, it's going to be a game-changer for the planet on a level that we've never seen before. Because all of a sudden we're going to have to question everything that we think we know. For example, about human evolution, are we, in fact, indigenous to this planet, or were we placed on this planet? And when you go through the esoteric science that I have brought out to the community of the world, it becomes easier and easier to see how the universe itself is fundamentally biological in nature. Life is written into this torsion field, or what I call the source field, that is throughout the entire cosmos. And at least within this particular galaxy, the DNA molecule is written by intelligent energy of the galaxy itself. The galaxy is alive. The galaxy is conscious. The galaxy authors DNA to be what it is. This consciousness has given us the human form. The human form is not unique to the Earth. It is unique to the galaxy. And in fact, according to the Law of One series, it also is very prevalent in other galaxies throughout the universe. There is a fair percentage of all the known universe that has human life on those various planets. But within this galaxy, all of us are going to be human in some form. That doesn't mean there can't be some pretty wide discrepancies from one to another in terms of how people look. In fact, some of these humans are rather frightening to see, and I have met with various whistleblowers who actually did interact with some of these people. Some of them have actually interacted with many different types of these people. And they've told me that if you meet some of these people for the first time and you've never seen anyone who looks like that before, it's kind of difficult to keep your cool and just remain calm and smile and be cordial when you meet somebody like this, because in some cases they look pretty different. They can have eyes that are a lot larger than ours, but still basically look the same as our eyes do. They can have eyes that are almost black in color. The eyes might be more on the sides of the head rather than the front of the face like ours are. And there's a lot of other differences in terms of the basic structure, but again, the overwhelming majority of them look very similar to us. And you then start to get superficial variances in terms of the skin color. You have all the different colors of the rainbow in pastel showing up in people's skin color. There's heights that range from 1.5 feet tall to upwards of 15 feet tall. And in fact, I've been told recently by another witness that there are, in fact, micro species as well. It's possible that movies like Batteries Not Included were, in fact, based on real intel that came in. Now, whether those people actually started out that way, or whether they were turned into something that small temporarily as a result of a technology, that's not clear. But again, it's going to be a situation where there will be people who laugh and who scorn and who hate and who write ridiculous things on the internet, including death threats. We got many of those. But the point is, I'm telling you the truth based on what's been told to me and what I understand from these whistleblowers. I don't really mind if people have that kind of negativity, because ultimately you have to go through lots of resistance as you start to understand the way the things really work. It is not an easy process. It requires a lot of conditioning to get your mind attenuated to the truth and to really be able to take in this grander vision. There's a lot of people who follow the UFO subject and who are very interested in the UFO subject, but when it really comes right down to it, they don't actually believe it. They're interested in it, they like hearing about it, but when you really get down to brass tacks, they don't actually believe it. They're still stuck in that idea of what if, and maybe, maybe not. And what everybody seems to be waiting for is the official government disclosure and or the so-called landing on the White House lawn. The problem is that these higher beings, as I would call them, since they have evolved past the level that we're at right now in terms of their spiritual focus on the true identity of the one infinite creator, they are fundamentally not going to come here and intrude upon us in any overt way. Their goal is to see that we arrive at an awareness on our own. They don't want to come in and save the day and be responsible for all the changes that happen in our society. That would be inappropriate. What they are trying to do is to work behind the scenes to give us the experiences that we need to have so that we can grow for ourselves. However, with all that being said, there is a level that is even higher than most of the ETs that visit us, and it is a level that in the Law of One series is referred to as sixth density, meaning that it is associated with the sixth chakra in the human energy field. By comparison, we're only third density right now on Earth, and the Earth is moving into the fourth density, which represents this shift that I was talking about, where the solar system is charging up, all the planets are changing, and it's going to activate our DNA to essentially actualize many of these mystical potentials that we have lying dormant within ourselves right now and make them much more present and much more full in their ability to actualize these mystical properties and mystical abilities. That's not something we're going to have to wait for. All the evidence has been put together. Part of why it's taken me a while to get you this audio blog is that I'm juggling several different balls at the same time, and they require a great deal of my focus and attention. One of the things I've been working on is this new book that I'm going to be releasing with Dutton Books, which is an imprint of Penguin, next year, called 2012 Enigma, Blueprints for a Golden Age. And I really hope that all of you will support this work by buying this book when it comes out. It will come out in hardcover, because this book is going to have the most incredible synthesis of all the hard scientific data that I've put together to make this 2012 case that I've ever assembled under one roof. You're not ever going to be able to find it this complete and this thorough on my website. It's only going to be available in the book. And again, the book is not very expensive, so I don't need people hating on me about the fact that this is going to be something that we sell. The fact of the matter is that we all have a right to make money doing what we love. And what I love is to give spiritual teaching, but if I don't make money on it, then I can't do it. And so it's one of the most ridiculous things we see on the internet when people start attacking over such a trivial thing as paying $20 for a book or something. The fact of the matter is that we do exchange money as a form of exchanging value and energy. And so exchanging money with someone is a way of showing appreciation. It's a way of supporting the good effort that the person is making. And it's a way of helping to expand a consciousness that we can all be a part of. The mainstream world has not been delivering us with what we need in terms of higher consciousness. And so one of the things I found the most silly was these people who thought that I was rich because of whatever, that I had a housekeeper or that I, you know, have a house with a mountain view. The fact of the matter is I do live in California. The housekeeper is part of the rent, And I found a place that is cheap because it's way remote from everything else in Los Angeles. So it's not as simple as you might make it out to be. Even if I were wealthy, that's not a bad thing either, because the fact of the matter is, my website shows that almost everything I do is free. Granted, there are going to be things like the 2012 book that take pieces of my data and put them all together under one roof, but the vast majority of everything is freely released, and in every case, as more money comes in, the money gets circulated into things that will help people on larger and larger levels. So I have a comprehensive plan of what I will do if more money becomes available, and that includes having more staff to be able to put videos together, and a large number of those videos are also going to be free and they're going to be released. In fact, there is a demo reel that we're in the process of putting together to help promote the 2012 Enigma book to foreign publishers so that we can get foreign rights worked out for this book. And that's something that my publisher asked me to do. We had to make those YouTube videos public in order for my publisher to be able to watch them. And just in a matter of like a day and a half, people have found it from Google searches and they're starting to post it all around, even though it's not the final edit. And they really enjoy what we're doing. Well, that's the kind of thing that you need to finance. And so, again, if you see people out there that are attempting to discredit me because we actually are not living on no money at all, that's pretty silly. The fact of the matter is that the youthful generation, especially, is very, very angry about the New World Order, the Illuminati, the corporate media, the oligopoly that has basically taken control of this planet. And as a result of that, what they seem to want is a cashless society, a society without money, because let's face it, in modern society right now, it's very difficult to make money anything above the minimum to maintain some basic standard of living. Many, many people's jobs are only just enough to keep them above starvation and keep them in a place that they can live. This is not a time in our planet's history where abundance is a common phenomenon. With that being said, remember what I was telling you about before. If you have an issue where you are not in loving yourself on an intrinsic level, the universe does not send people to you who love you. They will often send people to you who are oppressors, who disrespect you, who deny you your rights. But as I said, there are no paradoxes, no situation is permanent. On a global level, the reason why these New World Order and Illuminati types are out there is because we have invited them to be there. In fact, when you study their philosophy, you realize that they are very keen on making sure that everything that they do is something that they are being requested to do, that they are being allowed to do. Because no one stops them, no one even notices what's going on. So one of the things they like to do is to hide out in the open, so to speak, which means that they will put together various clues and then distribute those clues right out in the open to show you who they are and what they're up to. The case in point, one of many, is the symbol on the backside of the dollar bill in American currency, which clearly shows a pyramid. Why is there a pyramid associated with American history? Why is there an obelisk in the middle of Washington, D.C., as the Washington Monument? Why would they represent the first president of the United States with an Egyptian obelisk? We see these things, they're put right out in front of our face, but we don't question them. We don't question why the Statue of Liberty has this curious crown on that looks like rays of sunlight coming out at the top of her head. Well, that's actually a symbol for the Egyptian goddess Isis, and the Washington Monument is a symbol for actually the severed phallus of the Egyptian god Osiris. So you have Isis and Osiris as two of the most prominent symbols in the American system in terms of actual large sculptures that we see here in the country that are identifiable. So what's really going on? Well, they've never hidden it from you. It's very clear that they're obsessed with Egypt. They're obsessed with ancient mystery school teachings. They put out this stuff all over the place. There's a Masonic order that clearly is showing you the square and compass, which is the basic tools used in order to create geometry. So there's a very basic geometry component to this sacred science. And the geometry is why they're identified with buildings in the first place. Masons are those who build buildings. And so, in truth, what they talk about is Solomon's Temple, which is actually the underlying belief that we have an energy body and that we are building that energy body. So the Masons will say that they are building or rebuilding Solomon's temple. And that's a metaphor for us creating a light body within ourselves. The symbol on the back of the dollar bill starts at the top with the words Anuit Septus, and that means God has favored our origins, or God has looked with favor on our beginnings. So that's talking about the origin of the United States. Of course, freedom has been a very important part of this country, and it's been written into the Constitution in a way that some other countries don't have, and that also clearly establishes the right for each person to believe how they want to believe, to not be confined to a theocracy where they're forced to have a certain religious persuasion. It's really in alignment with the divine truth, as I understand it, and as the Law of One has explained it, that we are all here to have our own experiences, and the only universal standard, the only real law in the universe, is free will. Now again, free will is something that you can break if you want to, but when you start infringing on other people's free will, that's when the universe responds by giving you what most people now call karma, meaning that you will meet with an experience that is the same as what you've created. But let's also not forget that when you act in an unloving way towards yourself, when you disrespect yourself, you are attracting other people who will disrespect you. And that's the universe's way of giving you a mirror that will allow you to see the issues within yourself that have remained unhealed. So I'll make a rather dramatic case in order to illustrate what I'm talking about. There have been in history many, many families in which there is some sort of secret sexual abuse going on, and it can actually be incestuous, in which, for example, a father is molesting his daughter. And this only happens maybe seldomly, but when it does happen, it's never talked about, or she may be threatened, and it becomes this really, really dark secret. And this man, whoever he might be, actually does things like this, or in other cases, maybe there's just violent verbal abuse, yelling, hitting, for example, things like that. And the person goes on basically thinking that they're a good person. I have worked with trauma and sexual abuse counseling because that's what my degree was in, psychology. And I also spent a year on a suicide hotline. And so, of course, we had all the rape crisis intervention training. And one of the things you learn is that most of the time these abusers, when it comes to sexual abuse, will say something like, well, you need to learn about this. You need to learn about this before, you know, you get any older and you have sex with someone else. So there's all sorts of justifications that are made. And these justifications people actually believe. And so what they can end up doing is going through life and basically thinking that they're a good person and not really seeing the things that they've done as being bad. They might be very abusive. They might be verbally abusive. They might create an utterly miserable life for the people they love and yet honestly believe that everything that they're doing is for that person's own better good. That they're getting angry because that person has done things that made them angry, and the only way that person is ever going to change is if they are given that very stern rebuke. So again, when we do this within our own families, when there is secret abuse, what happens is we create a much larger system on the planet that is secretive and is abusive to its own inner membership and especially to everyone else. So that's why you hear about these various groups that are cult-like in their orientation, that have occult rituals that in many cases do involve sexual abuse, do involve physical violence, even sacrifices of animals and or human beings, and, in fact, are very manipulative and greedy towards the rest of the world. Now, I do not approach this knowledge with the belief that we need to somehow kill all these people or even hurt them. That's no different than how Hitler turned an entire country against the Jews, so that if they were aware that the Jews were being sent to concentration camps, they said, well, it's just as well. We don't want to deal with these people in our own lives. I do not feel that we need to mobilize against the so-called Illuminati and take anyone who has ever been in this group as someone who's automatically tarred and feathered as evil and negative. That's a very, very ignorant approach. The fact of the matter is that we're all living together on this planet. And it is my understanding, and I've spoken to many of these people myself, that more and more people within this group don't want to play along with what the group is doing. They don't believe it. They don't like it. They don't want to hurt people. They certainly do not ascribe significance to the genocidal aspirations that these groups have. They would like to see this knowledge that they possess be shared. They would like to see it go out more into the open, because in truth, it's the right time now. It's the right time for the ancient mystery school teachings to be revealed. That's what was supposed to happen all along. It was always part of the plan that we would get to a point where all of these things would be revealed. Similarly, people that are part of the UFO cover-up do not want to keep it secret anymore. They would like the truth to come out. All of the major world leaders know that this is true. Many of them have seen actual hard evidence that UFOs exist, so there's no question in their minds. And you're seeing more and more stuff happening. In fact, you may have noticed this past week a new video that's come out from Russia where there was a giant ring of light in the sky over Russia, and it's been filmed and it was talked about on mainstream media. Well, I can tell you that that ring was not a UFO. It was likely caused by Russian torsion field devices, which are capable of creating rings of light in the atmosphere just like that you saw. The reason why they're doing this, I feel, is that everyone is pushing towards disclosure becoming real. Everyone wants to see that tipping point that is reached where we know that this is true. And that is what President Obama is trying to do. Whether or not he's going to be able to pull this off, I have no idea. So again, I want to make that point clear. We do not know if disclosure will actually happen before the end of this year. That being said, it is definitely going to happen at some point. There are multiple ways in which it can happen. I've seen all the evidence about those different things. I have actually been privy to information, which I'm not allowed to share, that has given me more than enough evidence to show me that this is really going to happen. Now, that's another thing that I was criticized about. Someone sent me a very vitriolic email saying that I'm giving power to the shadow by not telling everything that I know from these inside whistleblowers. Let me make a point on that, too. The fact of the matter is that in order to gain trust from people who have worked on the inside, there are certain things that you have to keep confidential. Furthermore, by keeping certain things confidential, I have a criteria with which to know whether someone else is actually telling me the truth or is just reading stuff on the internet and trying to pretend that they were involved in some sort of secret project. By holding back certain pieces of information, you can understand that when someone comes to you and has those pieces, that they're obviously drawing from the same source. I have been able to put together clues that span well over 10 years of time. And when you start getting all these different pieces over a decade of study, it's actually more than that. It's more like 15 years that I've really been researching all this stuff. You find one piece here, one piece there, something you might have read years ago suddenly comes back. And it's just so unlikely as to be impossible that any of this stuff is fundamentally being faked. Now, granted, some of it can be faked, so I want to rephrase that sentence. But the underlying truth that we're not alone, the underlying truth that multiple human groups are visiting us, that is indisputable. Remember that if even one UFO sighting is not swamp gas, then we absolutely know that we are not alone and that at least one group is visiting us. But it's grievously naive for people to think that this one group is somehow all there is. Just because one UFO sighting is true doesn't mean that there's only one human species that's visiting us. If that one species did visit us, then it's very likely that the ability to travel at super light speed is well within our grasp once we understand how physics really works. And that's exactly what I'm saying. The laws of physics that we believe to be true on this planet have been deliberately held back to a certain point where we do not have the knowledge base to truly understand what's going on. It is my firm contention that Einstein, among others, discovered more of the truth than they let on. And in that case, he saw what potential it had to be destructive, because I've heard from other whistleblowers that he was one of the scientists, along with Tesla and others, who worked on the so-called Philadelphia experiment, wherein they realized that by creating certain types of energy flow, you can, in fact, affect travel through space and time. And this had a devastating effect on the crew, as what happened was that the ship actually moved through space while the crew did not stay with the ship, so that when the crew came back, they were at a different point. Like, let's say that the ship had moved 6 or 7 feet forward in the water, so that when it came back, they were now embedded in the hull, some of them. In fact, one of my insiders has told me recently that if you go back to the actual ship where this happened and you grind off the paint with a grinder, you can see these perfect anatomical diagrams, because the physiology of the person was in fact blended with the metal in the hull. So you can actually grind it down and see the cross-section of the person's body after it had gotten blended with the metal. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But when you start hearing this kind of testimony, and there's many, many other things that allow you to believe that it's true, then you start to put the pieces together and you start to realize there's something else going on here. So again, the negative elite, these negative groups, are here by invitation. They're here because we have had that negativity permeating in our own societies and in our own lives, and we haven't understood the extent to which it is part of us. So the negative elite, the Illuminati types, come to this planet and they work with us on this negative level so that we can be triggered into an awakening wherein we see a reflection of our own selves. We see the negativity that we create in our own personal lives reflected out in the open. We see the lack of abundance. We see the scarcity. We see the feelings that we don't have enough. So let me point something out to you. These groups only exist in shadow. They do not exist any longer once they are illuminated. Once the people become aware of the fact that they exist, their half-life is now very short. What is happening is that on a global level, we are awakening to the fact that there is a secret occult background to world power and world politics. Much of this awakening has gotten entangled with the idea of the current U.S. administration. Everybody is waking up to this at the same time, and it becomes really easy and convenient to attack whoever appears to be in charge, because on a deeper level they say, well, he's just a puppet, and the real people are the ones behind the scenes. Well, what I would like to point out is that my readings and my guidance have been clearly showing me that Obama is not one of the insiders, and I have never in my entire career had more hate and more anger and more venom and more ridiculous death threats given to me than I have since I simply made this point. But I was having dreams about Obama very clearly and unambiguously showing me that he was going to be taking down the negative powers that be before he ever even was clinching the Democratic nomination for president. Now again, it's really, really easy to believe otherwise because there is a massive, massive, massive propaganda effort out there in which lots and lots of information is being released through what appears to be alternative media, through what appears to be independent journalism by people just like you and me who have their own websites and are putting this stuff out. But in many cases, they are actually working for agencies such as the Pentagon and the NSA and the CIA, and they're putting stuff out there that deliberately wants to tie in all of the things that we are learning about the controllers, the hidden powers, and then convert all of that venom and all of that hatred as a target against the president. Now, I find it very, very interesting, as I said in Awaken Aware conference with Project Camelot in LA, that when you look at Fox News, it's saying all the same stuff about Obama that you're reading on these so-called conspiracy websites. Fox is not fair and balanced journalism, and it should be pretty obvious when you start looking at that, that whatever Fox says is true is probably the opposite of the truth. So people criticize Obama and say, oh, look at all the things he hasn't been able to accomplish. Well, I can tell you straight up that he has a great deal of opposition. There are many, many things that he has tried to do, and he has been stopped. In fact, it's safe for me to say this, that it has been given to me the knowledge that many times he has already been stopped and threatened and told don't go there by the powers that be on various things that he wanted to do. For example, let's look at the healthcare reform issue. The opposition to the healthcare reform has been outrageous, and what they do is they focus on a few small points while ignoring the overall greater objective that's going on there, which is that our health companies are massively, massively corrupt, and they're charging way, way, way too much for healthcare. They're vastly overinflating the value of the services they're providing, and as a result, it's a massive cash cow and profit machine. And it doesn't need to be that way. We now have the ability to turn the tides on so much of this stuff. But Obama is pushing for this disclosure. It's probably tied in with Stephen Greer's efforts because he has put out a briefing document that he has now said publicly he has given to the president. And it's only a matter of time before we get disclosure in some form or another. Let me say this again, too. The insiders are furious with Obama that he is trying to make this disclosure. They do not want this to happen. So if nothing happens between now and the end of the year, that means they got to him. But it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. We don't know when this is going to happen, but I assure you, the changes that we're going through as a planet are changes that will affect everyone. They are changes that will happen. We're not going to have to sit around and wait for this. And one of the biggest things that these dreams are telling me over and over and over again with great redundancy is that we are right on the brink of a spectacular defeat of the negative elite on this planet. They are going to be severely diminished in what they are capable of doing because, on a fundamental level, we are waking up. And as we see the truth, that truth then percolates into the mainstream. There is a level of Obama that, of course, is very authentic, and that is the reason why he won the election. It's because there were many, many people who gave him money on a grassroots level. It is not some product of the Illuminati that this happened. And go ahead and send me a hate mail. I welcome your feedback, but again, I've been given so much information on this, and my dreams have been documented for 17 years, and I feel they're reliable. So you can hate whoever you like. You can attack me, you can attack the president, you can do whatever. But the point of the matter is that as you start to really understand enlightenment, when I had Clinton as president, I didn't attack him. When I had George W. Bush as president, I didn't attack him. It's always been the same message. There's only one of us here. The universe is a loving consciousness. It's an infinite consciousness. And we are all part and parcel of that infinite being. Every one of us, no matter how confused, is a wonderful, radiant part of this everlasting universe that we all reside in. No one deserves to be attacked. No one deserves to be hated. That being said, we can say no when someone is doing something that we don't like. And we do have the right to put a stop to many of the things that are going on. That is what the Obama administration is trying to do, and I have put out many examples of how that's happening. You've seen many conflicts going on between various levels of the administration because Obama, in trying to reach a mutual consensus, did hire in people from the old world system. There are people from both sides of the fence in terms of the two major secret societies, which I call the European Rothschild Illuminati and the American Rockefeller neocon movement, or the New World Order. They're both part of that administration. That is absolutely true. But they do not control the administration. That's an important point. So in future website updates, what I'm going to be doing is giving you the actual dreams that talk about this. I realized after meditating on this subject that it would be inappropriate for me to try to go through all these dreams in specific detail right now, because it would make a long, long recording. I wanted to give you 1 hour that allows us to focus in on the core issues. So again, in the greatest sense, we are going through an awakening. There will probably be economic upheaval that will be coming in a very near future. That's one of the things my dreams are saying. We can expect before the end of the year that there will be some sizable changes. To that effect, it was very fascinating that right before I went on the air on Coast to talk about these prophecies, the very same day, there was an announcement made in the UK Independent online that said that all these other countries, including Russia, India, Japan, and the Arab nations, are unifying to not have the dollar be the world reserve currency anymore, that there's going to be a basket of currencies, so to speak, that will be the new world reserve. Now, it's important to remember that when they're doing something like this, it's not an attack against the U.S. on the truest, deepest level. It is in the best interest of everyone, because the U.S. has been controlled by this Federal Reserve, which is a cabal of international bankers, whose main reason for having the world reserve currency be from the U.S. is so that they can have this world monopoly and control so many things throughout the world. The U.S. economy has been the open door through which that control is exacted. Many of these other countries are not run by the Illuminati, and they are not run by the New World Order. So you have to keep that in mind. We're dealing with a situation that is very different than what most people think. And the other countries are moving to break the back of the Illuminati. This is a very important step. There is significant movement within this country as well to stop the Federal Reserve and to audit the Federal Reserve and to basically change us back to a treasury-backed currency. That's very good for humanity. Another thing that's happening is the derivatives market is being torn down, as I said, on Coast. The derivatives market is institutional corruption at the highest level, in which all of the basic wealth of this world is being siphoned out into these private companies and their coffers. Once we can break the back of the derivatives market, once we can break the back of the Federal Reserve, once a new currency can be established, which is coming from the good guys, not from the bad guys. Everybody's going to want to say this is, oh my God, New World Order, oh my God, one world currency, oh my God, they are taking over. It's just the opposite. We are seeing the fall of the old way of doing things. We are seeing the renewal of a true beneficial thing for humanity here. It's going to come from pain. It's going to come from biting through those things that have been tying us down. It's not going to be easy. So you're going to see some things that might appear pretty scary at first, but they're going to need to be scary in order to sufficiently rile up the public enough that we can get change to really occur, and that we can get a lot of these old things to fall by the wayside and have a much better perspective on who we are and what's going on. It may be that the economic stuff happens before the disclosure. All I know from my dreams is that they are definitely telling me that disclosure will happen, that UFOs will be common knowledge in the future. I don't know whether this thing that Obama is trying to do will actually happen or not. I do absolutely believe that my source is telling me the truth. I would also like to point out that this source was heavily chastised for telling us anything. It was not something where he was asked to tell us the truth. In fact, this was stuff that he wasn't supposed to talk about, and so it's not as if I've been used as a pawn to try to get some agenda out there. What I'm seeing is real-world data that's now correlating increasingly with what my dreams have been saying for years and years and years. And I actually had readings that you can find on my website that I posted back in 1999 that predicted that this was all going to be happening, that there would be a new international financial system that would come out of this that would be much more favorable. That was 1999, and now it's starting to happen. The same day that I go on Coast is when this announcement was made for a new international financial system. So the reason why we get these prophecies before things happen is so that when they do start happening, that we can trust that all is well, that we're being taken care of, that this world is moving in a positive direction, that there is a mass awakening taking place. And let it be said, I am not sitting around and waiting for this to happen. I am certainly not hinging my whole career on whether or not what one whistleblower tells me is true or not. The 2012 Enigma book that I'm putting together very clearly makes the case that there is going to be this shift that's happening. It's already well underway, but it is definitely not over. And what seems to be coming in the future is a much expanded, dramatic potential for all of us to experience mystical abilities, higher awareness, cosmic consciousness on a level that we would have a very hard time understanding or even being able to accept right now, because we're so much in the habit of having this cynicism and this hardened perspective where we don't want to believe that anything could really be true when it's that wonderful and that cosmic. And I think that's why so many people attack me and hate me when I write about this stuff. They've been lied to before. They've had prophecies that were made on the internet for great things that were going to happen that didn't happen. Then they get bitter and they feel like, I can't allow myself to believe that anything like this is going to happen. Trust me, these things do happen, they will happen, and it is a positive future that we're heading into. You can also be a part of this community that I'm forming. There are conferences that I give which allow you to be able to hear a really, really expanded scientific message about how all this stuff is coming together: interplanetary climate change, DNA evolution, spontaneous human metamorphosis, and how to navigate through these changes and how to get yourself positioned both spiritually and physically to be ready as much as possible for what's happening. I'm really hoping that we're not going to have to cancel this Hawaii conference that's coming up. It's on November 14th to the 18th. It's on the Big Island in Hawaii at the Sheraton Keauhou Bay Resort. If you'd like to have information about this, you can call my colleague Kevin Fitzgerald at 805-587-7734. And his email address is btravelsavvy, all one word, at AOL.com. Again, that's November 14th to 18th, and it's going to be a small group. We have about 30 people who are interested right now, but none of them have actually committed. None of them have actually signed up. And so if we don't have this nailed down within about a week, then we're going to have to reschedule it to later. So I hope that some of you out there who want to do this will actually jump in, because otherwise it's not going to happen. One thing that is definitely going to happen, though, is that I will be speaking in London. This is a full weekend. It's 16 hours of lecture, and it's very amazing content. You're going to see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of PowerPoint slides, and I'll be giving you the most breathtaking scientific information that I have. It's all the same stuff that's going into the 2012 Enigma book. It's stuff that you don't get on the website, because I have to have something that's available for conferences so that people get money, get value for their money to go. It's not just like everything is free. It's also how you can help support this community. And as time goes on and I learn more, I release what I know and I put it out there for free and I put it out there in the public eye. But at the same time, I always have material that you can only get in conferences, which makes them more exclusive. So I will be speaking in London at the Sheraton Heathrow Hotel, and that's on October 23rd through 25th, that weekend. You can go to my website, divinecosmos.com, sign up right now for tickets, you get a reduced rate on the hotel. And lastly, I'm also proud to announce that we have another conference that we've just put together, and that's going to be happening on January 22nd through 24th in San Francisco. We're going to be speaking at the Holiday Inn San Francisco Golden Gateway Hotel. One of the things I really like about this hotel is that it's directly opposite the Whole Foods. So you can literally walk out the front door of the hotel, go across to Whole Foods, and get really good food, which is definitely one of the things I'm going to be doing. We also have a really nice large room. We got a great deal on the room, so the room can hold up to 600 people. It would be wonderful if we were able to fill it up. I don't know if we will or not. But in these conferences, again, you not only get a full weekend experience, but you also get live music. Some of my attackers out there like to act as if my singing isn't very good. That's very, very specific to a person, whether you like a particular type of singing or not. There are many, many people who have heard my music and are really, really impressed with the quality of the singing. So it's totally subjective. There is no way to prove that it's good or that it's not good. But the point is that many people really do like it. And we have a great sound system that we put together. In fact, we invest thousands and thousands of dollars in a sound system that is capable of delivering you a true concert quality experience in terms of how the music sounds, how my vocals sound, etc., etc. And we worked it out in Toronto. That's the closest we've come to really getting it to sound the way we want to. And I've been putting even more time in on practicing and getting this really nailed down. I'm very happy with the results. So you're going to get 16 hours of lecture material. You're going to get live music, at least 3 songs a day. You're also going to have this dream sharing circle that we do on Sunday, in which I will have multiple people share their dreams and bring those dreams into a group discussion, where I will then crack down their meanings and help you to understand how to use your own dreams. Because in my opinion, that's the most robust source of guidance that we have. Again, the book is also going to be coming out early next year. Many people ask me about our film Convergence, and I'm happy to report that our writers are working on a script now. We have started to actually write script pages rather than just a treatment. I am very, very excited about the story that we've developed. The script is now in development. We're hoping to have it done by the beginning of next year. It may take longer than that. But once we have a finished script, then the next step is to find someone who wants to finance the film. We have many leads on that, because Jim Hart is the guy who wrote Contact, and he's got some wonderful connections. So I have no doubt that we're going to be able to get this film made. It will probably take about a year or maybe longer before the film is actually released after we get it financed. So a lot of people send me emails and they say, I want to see the movie. Where is the movie? Well, the movie isn't available yet. In the meantime, you can go to Sci-Fi Network on November the 8th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and watch on mainstream television my big breakthrough, where we're going to be talking about a lot of this 2012 science, a lot of the same stuff that I do in my conferences, the same stuff that's going to be in the book. It's going to be out there. It's going to be on regular television, and it's likely that we're going to be able to get other television appearances as well. We also are in development on a documentary film called 2012 Event Horizon, which will probably be out sometime early next year, maybe in the spring, maybe even into the summer, depends on how long it takes us to do it. But that's going to be a much more high production value than anything we've released before, and we'll also be covering this galactic evolution DNA change argument in even more detail. So there's a lot of things coming up on the horizon. There's a lot to explore. Most importantly, I would say tune into yourself. And I'm laughing because as I'm ending this recording, it's actually 3:33 p.m. And that's another great example of how synchronicity can speak to you, in this case through triple digits on clocks or license plates or wherever. So we have a wonderful opportunity to evolve. There's no need to attack anyone. There's no need to feel down about anything, because what's happening to the world is a positive shift. You can tune into your own heart and to your own emotional body and realize that that shift is happening. You can trust that the things that are happening are all guided and part of a higher order of events that will lead to a positive outcome. This is not doom and gloom. This is not a situation where the planet is going to swallow you up in Armageddon. All of those things are the threats that seem to be happening, so that we learn to come together as a species. And that's what we're doing now. There will be a disclosure at some point. Mark my words. It may not happen this year, but it will happen. We're going to be living in a world, according to the Law of One, in which things like telepathy, telekinesis, levitation, instantaneous healing are just as spontaneous and easy to do as rising and lowering your chest to breathe. That's the future that we have ahead of us. It is not going to be a disaster. So again, I'd like to thank you for spending the time with me today listening to this message. Keep checking back on divinecosmos.com. I try to update the site as often as I can. I don't always do it every week, but that is my goal. And I thank you.